Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, God bless you. We are live once again this afternoon and glad you're tuned in to be here with us. We earlier today spoke with the head of the Service Employees International Union. Be sure to check that out. That's still on our social media this afternoon, this evening. We're honored to speak with Moms Rising in the person of no stranger, Monifa Bandele. We've got to talk about this reproductive justice. And as Monifa was saying to me just before we came on, it's not a great topic. It's an uncomfortable one. In fact, it's a horrible one. But we got to talk about it so we know what's at stake in this hour. And we can actually put names and faces. So I don't know where y'all think we playing. Monifa said earlier, when this first happened, that Black women were going to be disproportionately impacted by the Dobbs decision. There was already too much Black maternal mortality, so we need to deal with that. And again, I'm calling out all these disinformation folk out here. And I said earlier, Monifa, we're 1 week from the 29th anniversary of the Million Man March. Mm-hmm. And we decided as Black men 29 years ago that we would defend our families, that we would defend and stand up for Black women. That's not just something to be saying. And that's not just about folk in your immediate circle. All right. So I want folks to kind of draw near and go get a loved one, go get somebody else, go get a coworker. Y'all need to hear this. Monifa's about to put some facts to some of these things that have been happening. First of all, Monifa, welcome back to Make It Plain.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on again.
It's a pleasure to have you as always. So first of all, people have been hearing this name, Amber Thurman.
That's right.
And I don't know that her story has gotten as much press as some of the white women who have been victims of this. And you know, we always know reasons for that. But this is our opportunity to inform people about what's going on. So let's start there. And let's not presume people really know what's been going on. So please, Amber Thurman, tell us about what happened with her as a result of the Dobbs decision.
Absolutely. As soon as the Dobbs decision went into place, you had states around the country that immediately put in place abortion bans. And you have places like Georgia, where Amber was, that put in place a 6-week abortion ban. Now, everyone out there, you know, who has a uterus knows that oftentimes you don't even know you're pregnant by 6 weeks, right? So this was something that we knew right away was going to put so many people at risk, but especially Black women, especially Indigenous women, because there's already so much discrimination and hostility that we face going into hospitals and clinics and seeing doctors. I mean, that's documented. But then to also remove access to prenatal care, which is what the Dobbs decision did. When the Dobbs decision came into play and Roe fell and places like Georgia put in place abortion bans, you saw doctors leaving the state en masse, right? So there's an OBGYN shortage in states that have abortion bans. That doesn't just impact people who need an abortion. That impacts every single person who needs maternal health care and, as we know, impacts us disproportionately. The second thing that has happened is that hospitals have either closed or have closed their labor and delivery units, right? Because if there's no doctors, then the entire units are closing and entire maternity hospitals are closing. So what you're creating is a maternal health desert. So people understand that they're banning abortion because they think they're saving babies. But guess what? When you create a maternal health care desert in a state, you're putting babies at a higher risk than ever before. So Amber was a young mother who was seeking emergency health care. She arrived at a hospital in need of a full abortion, or what folks would understand as a DNC. She was becoming septic. She had a fetus that was not viable. She had to leave the state earlier in the month to get the care that she wanted, and that wasn't working. And so instead of jumping immediately in the moment to save Amber's life, to provide her with the health care she needed, which was essentially an abortion, doctors waited because they were afraid to lose their license, violate state law, didn't know should they follow federal law or state law. Federal law says if somebody's in an emergency, you're supposed to treat them. The state was saying you can't do an abortion. So doctors are sitting around scratching their heads. And in the meanwhile, her condition worsened and she lost her life. And I'm glad you pointed out the difference between what's happening, not only in the media with sharing Amber Thurman's story, but even the outcome. The stories that we've heard about women who were becoming septic, who were almost dying, that they finally were able to save them, are like the stories you hear about, like the white woman in Idaho, where doctors, because they couldn't decide what to do, they put her on a plane to another state just in time to save her life before she died. So folks, look that up. Idaho woman who needed an abortion, who was a white woman, almost died, but didn't because they made a drastic intervention to save her life. But we see that Amber Thurman, and also when we share these stories, we hear about other ones. Another Black woman, Candy Miller, also in Georgia, also doctors waited too late to give her an abortion that would have saved her life. So what we find is that certain people get further in crisis, further in jeopardy from these things, and we often face the ultimate price when we are denied health care because there's not that urgency to save our lives, even when there's this crisis or this conflict of state and federal law. So Amber's story is an important one for people to really research and take it with them to the ballot box.
Yeah, yeah. No, we need to know about that. And thank you for sharing that. But now at the same time, we've had several incidences here and around the country, particularly here, even in New York, in the five boroughs, where we're not necessarily talking about an emergency abortion, but just the maternal mortality itself, correct?
That's right. So these things are connected. And I want everybody to pay attention to this. First of all, if you look at the states that have abortion bans in place, they have the highest rate of maternal deaths, period. The numbers don't lie. It's places like Georgia, Louisiana, Texas. So there's a direct connection to reducing the access to reproductive health care in any way and the impact it has on maternal health and even infant health. They also have higher rates of infant mortality, right? And then you're layering this on top of a maternal health care system that's already in crisis, right? So here you have, regardless of abortion bans in place, Black women and Indigenous women are suffering at a greater amount from maternal mortality and maternal morbidity in some of the, in the wealthiest, one of the wealthiest nations in the world, and in sometimes in one of the most wealthiest cities in those nations. You and I live in New York City.
Right.
I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and a mile from my home is Woodhull Hospital. Now, Woodhull Hospital is our health and human services hospital. It's the public hospital for folks who live in Bed-Stuy and Bushwick and Brownsville, all my neighbors. This is the public hospital that folks are able to go to. And three times in as little time as 3 years, perfectly healthy, young Black women have not survived childbirth. We just had a young woman, Bolivine Garcia, a Black woman, Garifuna, from Honduras, who passed away just a few days ago at Woodhull Hospital. Someone who her family repeatedly took her to that hospital saying there's a problem. She's in pain. She's vomiting. She's not able to keep everything down. And it was not taken seriously. Oh, she's fine. Oh, this, that, and the other. And we have lost this young mother. And we see those stories over and over again. So in some states where we are, we can't access the care we need because the abortion bans have doctors not treating us or have hospitals closing. But nationwide, Black women's pain is ignored. We're not having access to quality and caring maternal health care. And when you put those things together, I mean, we're in a crisis and we really do need to be ringing the alarm.
Are any of these deaths undergoing any type of investigation?
Yes. What we find is that, particularly here in Woodhull, After the second death, now, Bolivine Garcia is the third, a doctor was fired, right? The surgeon was fired, but we don't see systemic changes happening at the hospital, and we don't see the policies nationwide that we need. Here's some great things that are happening in New York City that Black doulas and activists have pushed for. One is for Medicaid reimbursement for doulas and midwives, right? We need to have a prenatal team that comes from our community, that looks like our community, right? That cares for us through the whole maternal, prenatal and postnatal process. And a lot of times, while Black women were the original midwives and doulas, remember, we were midwives and doulas for everybody in the whole country that was pregnant. Once that became more commercialized and hospitalized, then midwifery was outlawed, and now only the people who are wealthy have access to have midwives and doulas. So folks on the ground are pushing for everyday sisters to have access to midwives and doulas and even be able to cover it through Medicaid reimbursement. So these are good things that are starting to push through the system. But, you know, we have a long way to go, and we have to pass this maternal health momnibus that we've been waiting on for the past 3 years.
Where is the momnibus legislation right now?
Yes. So, you know, back when we had Build Back Better, it was in there, right? We had the care, we had child care in there. We had the Black Maternal Health Momnibus, and those things were cut out, and Build Back Better failed by one vote, which was Joe Manchin in West Virginia. One senator stood in the way of having access to care and access to comprehensive maternal health care for tens of millions of people. Because you know what happens is that when Black communities and Black women fight for policies, they're gonna help it's gonna help everybody, right? It was gonna be standard.
Always does.
It was going to be standard that in your labor delivery rooms that you had immediately those crash carts, that if there was preeclampsia, that it was all right there. The carts were right there. It was going to identify people who were not good players in the system, you know, doctors or nurses or hospitals who were repeat offenders and not caring for moms. There would be consequences. There were incentives for hospitals to do better. So there were so many things in the momnibus that could have turned a corner. But one senator, that's why we say how important it is for us to all get out and vote. One senator was able to block all of that, right, for the entire nation. Where we stand now is that we have a good, you know, opportunity of passing the momnibus, perhaps, in 2025. We could have that, or we can have the results of Project 2025, right? And if you look at Project 2025, while it doesn't say it's going to ban abortion or take money out of maternal health care, what it says is it's going to prioritize fetal personhood. Now, y'all listen to this language, right? Because if you create provisions for a fetus to be a person and you prioritize that person over the pregnant person, essentially you're talking about increase in maternal mortality, right? That we are not be able to save moms, that people will not be able to get abortions when they need them or when they want them. They should be able to get them when they want them too, if we let things like Project 2025 take hold. So that's where we are, really at a crossroads right now. The champions for the momnibus are still there. Congresswoman Underwood and Congresswoman Adams are the co-leads on the Black Maternal Health Momnibus. And we are continuing to share our stories and push it forward.
You all hear what our sister's saying. If you are making a case for fetal personhood, that usually means a threat to the life of the mother in many of these medical situations.
Absolutely.
So people got to say, that's that kind of those trick, that trick word, pro-life. Mm-hmm. Pro-life ain't got nothing to do with the life of the mother, particularly the Black mother.
That's right.
Fetal personhood doesn't have anything to do with the personhood of the mother,
that's
particularly
right.
The Black mother. So folks got to, we're trying to enlighten you to this. This is what's going on. Now, momnibus, it was in Build Back Better. So we presume, I guess we're saying that the Biden-Harris administration supported that.
The Biden-Harris administration supported it. It failed as a total Build Back Better due to one senator. Like I keep telling people when they say, oh, how the Senate lines up, what does that really matter? Let me tell you.
Yeah. And no good Joe Manchin has Kamala Harris, as she's been the non-presidential nominee. I've heard her mention the issue of Dobbs and Roe and maternal mortality. Has she put words on bringing resurrecting Momnibus?
Yes, absolutely. She's made a complete commitment to maternal health equity, right, in the United States. And we know that means attacking the Black maternal health crisis. And she's also made a commitment, a strong commitment, I think it was just this past week and on Saturday, to sign into law a protection for abortion access nationwide. So these are the things that she is committed to, that she has promised. And we need both those things, right? Yes, we need better maternal health care, but you need the access to it all, and which includes when and how many children you go have, right? That's why people 50 years ago fought for access to abortion care for moms, because people were dying. Like that's exactly what was happening, right? So so that is what's, if you want to talk about what's pro-life, these people who have fought and won these abortion bans, deaths of mothers and infants have gone up. How are they pro-life?
Do we know how many lives, maybe it's too many to even know a number, how many lives have been lost since Dobbs as a result of maternal mortality and no access to abortion?
Yeah, sadly, particularly since COVID, maternal deaths have gone up. You know, they hovered somewhere around 800-900 lives a year, and now we're looking at 1,000 over the past 2 years. So when you tell the stories of Shia Washington at Woodhull, and also Bolivine Garcia at Woodhull, you know, and Christina Field at Woodhull, I want to say those three young women's names, right? They are a representation of about 1,000 potential moms who have lost their lives. And then the CDC did a report last year saying that 80% of the maternal deaths in the United States are preventable. That's criminal. 80% by the CDC's own measures, right? This is you didn't pay attention. This is you didn't go back and check for the pain that the patient was experiencing. This is postpartum hemorrhaging. This is all the things that could be prevented with the right care, and it just wasn't there.
And again, back to this fetal personhood, y'all, if the mama don't survive, what are the odds that this fetus survive? I mean, I think there's this fantasy, like people have been watching too much Game of Thrones. You know, let's get the heir to the throne out and sacrifice the mama's life. But that ain't really the way that it works, is it?
It's not. And they're also listening to a lot of misinformation and disinformation. There are probably a lot of your listeners aren't getting it because they're not the target audience. But people are getting these social media commercials and ads that say they want to ban abortion so that there aren't post-birth abortions. That's not a thing. That's nothing. I was just in Milwaukee last week in Wisconsin, and you wouldn't believe the ads that people are getting. People say, yeah, I understand, but I just don't believe you should get a full-term abortion is not a thing. That's not a term. That's not a real thing. You know, what you have is the right are selling you scare tactics, right, to support something that's actually harmful. What is a real thing is the maternal mortality crisis. That's a real thing. People have come full term are delivering, and they are not surviving because these abortion bans are creating maternal health deserts in their state.
Yeah, folks create these false crises, folks. Like, there's no voter fraud. There are no African immigrants or Caribbean immigrants coming to get your reparations.
No, yeah.
And there are no full term abortions. In fact, the one we know of that was suggested was the one that Donald Trump's nephew wrote in his book, who had an autistic or developmentally disabled child. And Trump told him, y'all need to live your lives and go ahead and let that kid go. Hello? So that was going on. And don't nobody do that. Nobody talks to anybody like that. But him, the person who's saying that there are these abortions after 9 months, is projecting, because he's a person who told members of his own family to, and I don't even know that the kid was hooked up to a machine. So I don't know what he expected them to do. You can't unplug the machine if he's not on a machine. So I think they just want him to kill him. I don't know what he was trying to do.
What?
Yeah, but that's what you call a post-birth abortion. All right. So that's the only one supporting that. So folks, we need to be clear on that. Tell people more about what Moms Rising is doing specifically, please, and how people can get involved in Moms. And another important thing, Monifa did a little history for us here. Y'all, we were the midwives. See, folks, you know, we weren't really, folks said we were animals. We were less than human. But as soon as we got here, 5 minutes later, they had us delivering their babies and breastfeeding their children.
And nursing them. So.
Right. So we couldn't really, you know, y'all are animals, but not really, because y'all going to take care of our children. Because we really animals. They would have been afraid of us eating the children like he says we're doing now. We that cats and the dogs. They don't really believe that because they know they need us. But talk to us about Moms Rising, what you all are doing and how people can get involved and do something about this.
Absolutely. So we're a part of an amazing effort called Black Maternal Health Week. Please go to our website and become a part of that in April. I mean, we partner with Black midwives, doulas. We do events all over the country, highlighting, basically taking us back to the roots. You know, my mother's from a small town in South Texas, and a woman named Mary Clark delivered her and her siblings, my grandmother and her siblings. She delivered three generations of Black people in this small town in Wharton, Texas. And, you know, as far as my mother knows, there were no high rates of babies being lost and mothers being lost by Mary Clark. In fact, my own grandmother had a hugely complicated birth, and Mary Clark was able to deliver my uncle safely as well as my grandmother. But when my mother moved to New York to have her children, she had to go to a hospital, and she ended up twice having C-sections, right? Mm-hmm. And all the same thing with all of her cousins and siblings who migrated out and we're in the big urban complexes where it was medicalized and you're going to hospitals. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's having C-sections. Mary Clark wasn't getting no C-sections, right? So, and not to say that C-sections aren't needed. They are. But Black women are disproportionately put through C-sections. So I just wanted to name that this is really going back to what we already know. So go to our website and join on so that we can celebrate with this growing movement of Black birthing centers. It's just amazing. It's happening all over the world. But to support the Momnibus, go to momsrising.org and you will see that you can sign a petition to support the legislation. But more importantly, share your story. We've been sharing stories, and dads, you have stories too. Brothers and uncles, you have stories too. Because when we go to these legislators and they're like, well, I don't know if this is a problem in my town. Yes, it is, because it's a problem in every state in the nation. And here are the stories to put the faces, you said it earlier, put the face and the name to the numbers. That's why we say Amber Thurman. That's why we say Candy Miller, right? Because we can say 1,000 and that's just a number.
Right.
But it's 1,000 Amber Thurmans with parents and other children. She was a mom and loved ones and siblings and cousins. And so we if you that times 1,000 and we are in a crisis.
And folks, as Monifa is saying, the stories are important as well.
The stories
are very behind the number. And if, unfortunately, a lot of us think we're isolated in our own situations.
Mm-hmm.
What Monifa Mandela is saying to us is that we are not. And so we've got to share the stories. We've got to talk about it. You know, there's no shame. Mm-mm. There's no shame in that. Sharing what your stories are. This is slightly different topic, but I do want to ask this. I know at one time Black women were also disproportionate. This goes to how we're treated in the exam room and everything else. Black women are disproportionately were, I don't know if this is still true, that's what I'm asking, disproportionately being given hysterectomies. Is that still a reality?
I don't know, but I do know that Black women are disproportionately giving C-sections. And also that there was just a report that came out that said that Black women were getting C-sections unnecessarily. and I'm going to drop this in the thing. They're giving on this is from the New York Times. Uh-huh. This just came out. Unneeded C-sections for the purposes of training surgeons, right? When you're a surgeon and you got to do a certain amount of hours of cutting, this is a report that basically says Black women are more likely to be put through these unnecessary procedures for the purposes of the training in these hospitals. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that doesn't reek of everything from the Tuskegee experiment to, you know, Dr. Marion James
Simmons. I think we may have lost Monifa, but we'll get her back. Hopefully she'll be able to log back in. I'm going to lift up this headline so you all can see it. Doctors give Black women unneeded C-sections to fill operating rooms, study suggests. I'm sharing it on the screen so that you all can see that, hopefully. That's a problem. That is a problem. There we go. We've got Monifa back. Yeah, yeah, no problem.
I was in the middle of my sentence about Dr. Marion James Sims, who was the quote unquote father of obstetrics, and he developed his practice by performing experiments on Black women who were enslaved. And so this reeks of that. This finding that came out about these unnecessary C-sections.
Believe it. That's the headline, folks. Doctors give Black women unneeded C-sections to fill operating rooms. Healthy Black women with low risk factors were far more likely to get C-sections than white women with similar medical histories, a large new study found. A new report of nearly 1 million births in 68 hospitals in New Jersey. Now, I guess they just looked in New Jersey. That's scary. You know, if that's happening there, it's happening elsewhere, folks.
That's right.
And we got to be, it says the additional operations on Black patients were more likely to happen when hospitals had no scheduled C-sections, meaning their operating rooms were sitting empty. That suggests that racial bias paired with financial incentives played a role in doctors' decision making. We've got to blow this up, Monifa. We got to do something about this. This is not the answer.
And, you know, like I said, these are connected. They want to separate the conversation. They want to say, oh, here's abortion. Oh, here's maternal health care. Oh, there's a C-section issue. This is state violence on Black women's bodies, right? When we look at state violence with policing in prisons, we know it's all together. Maybe it was during the arrest, or you died in custody, or something's happening. It's all one level of state violence. And when you put these issues together, that's what you're seeing happening to Black women.
All right. MomsRising.org. Folks, you know, I say to people all the time, Monifa, if every one of us picks one issue to attack that is affecting our community, there'd still be a million more left.
Yeah.
So we don't always have to be on one thing.
No.
And we need some of you to be on this. All right. Moms Rising does not need to be doing this in isolation. We're holding up this bloodstained banner on behalf of our women and our mothers. And Monifa, you can always challenge me to do more. You know, so much going on. But I'll be honest with you. The problem is, for the next 30 days, all anybody wants to talk about on television, major networks and television news, even friends we have on major networks, is the election. Election, election, election. I get it. You know, but let me tell you something. After these 30 days are over, I'm going to go back to acting like a fool. As a matter of fact, I said that at the DNC, and then Fox ran a headline attacking me. Here's the real agenda, y'all. Mark Thompson said that they just going to act right for now, and then they're going to go, Black people are going to go back to acting like a fool after the election. I'm like, and it got no traction because it was just stupid, you know, all out of context. But, I mean, I was, you know, being metaphorical. I mean, we're going to be polite. We're going to all be one band, one sound. We can't have Trump. this is not going to get worse, get better with Trump. But at some point, once we get past this, everybody votes, we do what we need to do. We need to make sure that these stories are front and center year round, and not ignored in these moments. As she mentioned, hey, how many of you all know about Black Maternal Health Week in April? How many of you involved in it? How many of you are partaking in that movement? So please, ma'am, please, sir, this is what we need to do. MomsRising.org. Get involved. We'll share these links with all of our listeners as well about some of these maternal mortality deaths. And again, Monifa, thank you for all your hard work and what you all are doing. And anytime we can lift this up, and anytime I can call other friends in media to get them to lift this up, you know I'm going to do it.
I have a great suggestion.
Come on.
I think we need to have a dad's panel, because there are Black men who are out here who've lost their partners. And I see it as a community of brothers growing, and I'll send the information. But to have a conversation amongst Black men about the Black maternal health crisis, I think will be powerful, because it impacts all of us, y'all. A brother, Charles Johnson, who lost his wife, has pulled together Black men to go around and talk about this issue. I think it'd be wonderful.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do that sooner rather than later.
Okay.
I don't even want to wait on that. I don't want to wait 30 days on that. Let's do that. Because again, we need brothers from this. All these brothers on social media attacking Black women. So that's the new thing now that you know, we fighting Black women. Black men ain't got no reason to fight Black women. What is that all about? Why are people promoting that? You know, and they're using, you know, the sister as the symbol. And, you know, let me tell y'all something. Ain't no more STEMI. That's over. That was during COVID. STEMI's gone. Ain't Donald Trump gonna give you no more. I like because of my STEMI. No, that's not happening. We need right here, right now, to decide that we're going to act on our own behalf, vote for ourselves, and vote on behalf of Black women, Black men. And I challenge all Black men to come at me on that, because there's no argument you can make. Here it is right here. Monifa shared it with us in her own voice and in black and white, what it is we're facing, what our women are facing, and the threat that they're under. So folks, let's get into this. Sister, we appreciate you. Look like they might have just froze my screen because I'm talking so much.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was just on my end. Your screen is frozen, but
it's on mine.
It's because you made that point that it's not another STEMI, and then the powers that be froze you. But I mean, I try to tell people the STEMI is over. And the tax increase that Kamala Harris is talking about is not going to impact you.
Right.
Especially if you got the STEMI. That's just.
No, that ain't going to. Y'all need to let that go. Y'all worried about some doggone tax increase. And that's not going to affect you. You don't make that kind of money. So you good. You know, you don't have to worry about that. We can stand up and do the things we need to do on behalf of our families. And again, I really want to do what you're saying with the brothers. Here we go. What you're saying with the brothers and get that panel up. So yeah, please, ma'am, let's do that. MomsRising.org. Monifa, thank you. We don't talk enough, sister.
Let's do it some more.
I'm ready.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
MomsRising.org, y'all. Thank you so much, Monifa. All right. So folks, you heard that. We're gonna get this together. And we need to organize. She says, we're gonna have a panel of brothers who've lost their spouses, their significant others, to a disproportionate Black maternal mortality. First of all, because that's happening, and then dialysis is a factor as well. So let's get organized, folks. Let's be about it. Okay. Carol and Faye want to remind y'all think y'all gonna get affected by the STEMI. Those of you who make over $400,000, most of y'all on social media talking about the STEMI. See, if you made $400,000, you wouldn't have got no STEMI in the first place. You wouldn't need no STEMI. Huh? all y'all running around talking about that and her dad is white. None of that is true. So let that go. Stop allowing mischief makers and propagandists and trolls on social media to divide us. And I tell you again, I'm just going to say it again for those who might have missed it earlier. If you Google the Loch Ness Monster, the Bottomless Snowman, and Bigfoot, you will find some created picture. Over the years, they created pictures of all of them before the internet was even created. There's even a picture of the Martians when they visited President Eisenhower in the 50s. And Dick Gregory told me about that himself because he was supposed to go to the meeting and couldn't make it. All right. So that's out there. There's not even a fake AI picture of Kamala Harris's supposed white daddy. And I know one of the brothers out there pushing that line and got my sweetheart Janet Jackson saying it. We need to cut that out. We need to cut that out. Black women's lives are on the line. And who better to make a contribution in defending their lives than a black woman? We got a lot of balls in the air. This is October 7th. We will always be in solidarity with the tens of thousands of Gazans who have lost their lives. Nobody should lose their life. We call for a ceasefire. By the way, a ceasefire, our song by Ayanna Gregory, the video is now on Apple Music. The song was already there. Ceasefire, Ayanna Gregory, and Common Hymnal. Go to Apple, iTunes, go to Spotify, but the video is now on Apple Music. You can download that as well. Just want to let you know that. We still talking ceasefire. Can't get that. All right? We these are all the things that are important. We got to walk and chew gum at the same time. We got to call for a ceasefire. We got to call out the policy that is about to take us into a world war if there isn't one already. Good to hear from you, Carolyn Armstrong, Carolyn Faye. But we've got to fight. Somebody's asking, we need to talk about the 29th anniversary of the Million Man March. What is it that we ought to be doing? What did we pledge to do as black men? What happened to us? Huh? All right, I'm going. I know I've talked too much. It froze my screen earlier because some of the stuff I was saying. Love y'all. Talk tomorrow. Have a great evening, and God bless you all.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.